Welcome to today's Pacific Basin 2022 first quarter trading update call. I'm pleased to present Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Martin Fruergaard. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode. And afterward, there'll be a question and answer sections. Mr. Fruergaard, please begin.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for attending Pacific Basin's first quarter trading update call. My name is Martin Fruergaard. I'm Chief Executive Officer of the company, and I'm joined by our CFO, Peter Schulz. Please turn to slide two. The minor bulk freight market in the first quarter of 2022 was significantly stronger than the same period last year, driven by strong supply and demand fundamentals. Index spot rates for Handysize and Supermax ships averaged 20,550 and 23,900 net per day, respectively, in the first quarter of 2022, representing a 47 and 51% increase, respectively, compared to the same period in 2021. It was overall a good quarter, despite increasing economic and geopolitical uncertainties, but still with minor bulk demand up, driven predominantly by loading of construction materials, cement, clinker, and aggregates. Going forward, we believe growth in minor bulk loadings will continue to support rates despite normalizing global economic growth, war in the Ukraine, and COVID-related uncertainty in China. Please turn to slide three. Global minor bulk loadings grew approximately 12% in the first quarter 2022 compared to the same period last year. Construction materials were the main driver, as I said, in particular cement, clinker and aggregates, which are up 19% year on year. We believe increased global infrastructure spending and some relaxation of Chinese domestic property construction curbs will be supportive of minor bulk demand for the remainder of 2022. Reduced Black Sea grain exports in March contributed to lower year-to-date grain loadings of 3% compared to the first quarter of last year, as both Ukraine and Russia export have been disrupted. Expectations are for a significant reduction of Black Sea grain export in 2022. Some of these lost volumes will be replaced by other producers, most notably the United States, Argentina, Brazil, and Australia, as high grain prices will incentivize farmers around the world to increase planting for export, with these volumes benefiting overall ton-mile demand. The disruption is unfortunately also driving global food security concerns, especially in China, which could further increase seaborne trade. The South American grain exports are now picking up, which we expect will support dry bulk demand in the second quarter. Coal volumes in the first quarter of 2022 decreased 1% compared to the same period in 2021. General coal loading decreased 14%, largely due to Indonesia's coal export ban. Since the ban was lifted, we have seen a significant increase in inquiries, as well as increased ton-mile impact from higher demand from countries in Europe, which we expect will source more non-Russian coal throughout 2022. Iron ore volumes declined 3% in the first quarter of 2022 compared to the same period last year, mainly impacting the earnings of the Capesize vessels. The decline was due to seasonally weather impacting mining operations from key producers in Brazil and Australia, as well as Chinese New Year holidays and emission control during the Beijing Olympics. 2022 Chinese steel production is expected to remain within 2021 levels, and we expect China's steel output to rebound in the second quarter when output cuts are expected to be eased in northern China and the typical strong demand season begins. Please turn to slide four. Our core business generated average Handysize and Supramax daily time charter equivalent earnings of 23,810 and 32,510 net per day in the first quarter, representing an increase of 117% and 122% compared to the first quarter of 21, respectively. Our earnings benefited from a very high first quarter employment cover when entering 2022, in particular for our Supramax vessels. The decision to maximize first quarter coverage was made during the strong market in the fourth quarter of 21 in the expectations of a usually seasonal weaker first quarter market. For the second quarter of 2022, we have covered 75% and 92% of our core vessel days as at 23,970 and 31,250 net per day for Handysize and Supermax, respectively. So far, 26 and 35% of our contracted Handysize and Supermax days in the second half of 2022 are covered at around 16,440 and 21,519 net per day, respectively. The cover for the second half of the year comprises a higher portion of older long-term contracts, which are lower than the current market. We have significant opportunity to add cargo fixtures and long-term contracts to our remaining 2022 book, at rates which, based on prior years, we would expect to be higher compared to the first quarter, which is normally the weakest quarter in the year, and also because our contract cover contains a relatively large percentage of backhaul contracts, bringing the vessels back to the loading areas. Please turn to slide 5. Both our Handysize and Supermax vessels outperform the average Handysize and Supermax indexes by 3,260 and 8,610 per day, respectively. Our performance continues to benefit from our diverse cargo and customer base and the close customer interactions facilitated by our extensive global office network. Now turning to our operating activity, which in the first quarter generated a positive margin of 3,320 net per day over 5,160 operating days. Operating activity margins remain high, and we continue to see opportunities in this strong yet volatile rate environment to generate further positive earnings. This is a strong market outperformance by Pacific Basin in a volatile global environment, and it is again a testament to the great commercial acumen and operational excellence of our organization, both ashore and at sea. Please turn to slide 6. Our vessel purchasing has slowed in recent months as asset prices approached historical highs, and we expect our vessel purchasing activity to be reduced compared to last year. During the first quarter of 2022, we sold four of our smaller and older Handysize ships. Secondhand sales price development for Handysize ships that are 20 years or more of age have outperformed younger ships. By selling these smaller, older Handysize ships crystallizes value and further optimizes our fleet. Our long-term growth and fleet renewal strategy continues unchanged. Please turn to slide 7. Despite strong earnings and healthy balance sheet for most dry bulk owners, we expect that the new ship ordering, in particular for Handysize and Supermax ships, will remain restrained, discouraged by uncertainty about the future fuels and vessel design and technology that will be required to meet coming decarbonization regulations. According to Clarkson's research, only 36 dry bulk vessels with a total of 2.8 million deadweight have been ordered year to date, a reduction of 70% and 74% respectively compared to the same period in 2021. The overall dry bulk order book is currently 6.6% representing a reduction of 0.4 percentage points since the beginning of the year, as deliveries has outpaced new ordering. In addition to a shrinking order book and lower future deliveries, we expect scrapping to increase in coming years as IMO fuel efficiency rules will encourage owners to phase out older, less efficient ships. Please turn to slide 8. Clarksons Research estimates dry bulk net fleet growth of 2.2% in 2022 and 0.4% in 2023, with scrapping of 0.8% in 22 and 2.3% in 23. We believe long-term scrapping in dry bulk will increase due to tightening environmental regulation. If current earning levels continue in 2023, we might consider Clarksons Research scrapping estimate a little on the optimistic side, but we see higher scrapping from 24 onwards, driven by tightening environmental regulations. Please turn to slide 9. We continue to prioritize the quality of our service and the safety and well-being of our ship's crew. COVID restrictions still create inefficiencies and complications with the repatriation of some of our seafarers and the associated higher costs we described at our annual results presentation. While we commit to only owning and operating zero-emission vessels by 2050, we must also focus our efforts on the current fleet we have, as we target to achieve an AER rating of C or better from 2024 onwards. This will require us to install power reduction devices on approximately 73 of our own ships to comply with the IMO EEXI energy efficiency requirements. I look forward to updating you further as we progress on our decarbonization journey. Please turn to slide 10. So, first quarter of 2022 has started firmly compared to the same period last year. We expect demand, especially for minor bulk, grain and coal in 2022, to remain strong, and we see further ton-mile demand due to change in trade flows and issues of food and energy security. At the same time, the order book is 6.6%, meaning fleet growth in 22 and beyond is likely to be moderate. Clarkson Research expect 2.4% Handysize and Supermax fleet growth for 2022. From 2023 onwards, IMO environmental regulations will further constrain supply through speed reductions. However, there are a number of risks that we, of course, monitor. So far, changes in trade flows caused by the very sad conflict in Ukraine have positively impacted ton-mile demand for some commodities, but we continue to monitor the impact that the military conflict can have on global growth and grain flows later in the year. We also monitor the COVID situation in China, even though we are positive of the full year 2022 demand outlook in China, as policy support focuses on investment in infrastructure, manufacturing and green investments, which all rely on minor bulk commodities. However, despite these risks, we continue to be optimistic about the long-term health of the dry bulk market. This healthy market, our strong cash generation and limited expected capex spending enable us to continue to reward shareholders by returning capital. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our trading update presentation. I will now hand over the call to our operators for Q&A.
Thank you, management. We will now begin our question and answer sections. If you have a question for any of today's speaker, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will enter a queue. After you announce it, please ask your question. If you find that your question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, please press 02 to cancel. So once again, 01 on your telephone keypad now to ask a question. Our first question is Paris Jane from HSBC.
Hi, thank you. Can I go ahead? Hey, Martin, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Okay, lovely. Yeah, hi, good evening, and very strong set of operating state, it seems. Martina, can you help us understand a bit about what sort of seasonality shall we expect this year and how different it is from the usual cycle, given probably the impact of loss of cargo, or loss of grain cargo from Ukraine, some of the loss of volume from Russia, partially offset by ton mile at the same time, slower operating activities probably at least in the first half of second quarter in China. When we put this together, does it seem like this in the second quarter could be a softer quarter in terms of demand growth versus, let's say, first quarter or the second half of this year? Any color on that probably would be very, very helpful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Parash. It's of course a very good question. There's of course a little bit of uncertainties in the market, but I would still say that the development we've seen so far this year is actually sort of, it is straight as it always is. You know, you have a weaker start to the year that is picking up, and actually it's quite normal that in April you also see the market coming down a little bit, which it actually has done, and now it's actually picking up a little bit, and we see actually the FFAs for the future is now coming, especially for the handy sizes and the supermaxes, is actually increasing at the moment. So if the year will follow the usual curve, we will actually see a sort of improving market until end of the year from now on. And of course, as you mentioned, it is a little bit of an unusual year. And I think we also, you know, in all fairness, we are also sitting looking a little bit at what will happen. We did mention second quarter. I'm actually not so worried about second quarter. So should we, is there any uncertainty in our market? I think it's in the second half when usually you have the grain coming out of Russia and Ukraine. And of course we sit and look at the war, very sad to look at, but also how long will it actually last for. On the other hand, we also just have to say that what's happening at the moment is that much of these commodities, they have to be shipped from further distance away, so we have more ton miles at the moment. We also see the coal into Europe, who imports 40 million tons out of Russia, will ban that, as we understand it, and they will have to find different ways to get it. And the same with Japan, end of the year, who has 20 million tons out of Russia. So there's a lot of things happening that actually also, you know, in these circumstances, unfortunate circumstances, actually could be quite positive for our markets. But I must also say it's a little bit too early to judge exactly the consequences of the Ukraine situation. But at the moment, we are actually quite positive about the market.
Okay, lovely. And just one more thing, just so that I understand it clearly, can you talk a bit about the backhaul cargo or the cargo that you have contracted last year are up for renewal? Will they? Those be up for renewal sometime in second quarter? What percentage is it? Is still like 15-20% of overall volume remains in longer term? And do most of them renew around this time? Thank you.
Yeah, so we mentioned that for second half, you know, if we say first quarter is over, and second quarter we have 92% copper and 75% at handy. So that is already done to a certain extent. So it's the second half of the year we are looking at. And there we have 35% copper on the supers and 26% on the handies. And actually on the handies, the copper we have there, 60% of it is what we call backhaul. So that's actually voyages bringing us down to the loading areas. And on the supers, it's 50% of the copper. That is actually what we call the backhaul voyages. So you can say the rates might look a little bit low, and some of it is also because it's older contracts, but it's also mainly because it's backhaul voyages,
yeah.
with an upside when you get into the loading areas. We do see at the moment the uncertainties we also see that you also asked about. We also see that with our customers, and I think the high oil price as well, you know, the ton, the US dollar per ton for the contracts is quite high because the oil price is also so high, the bunker price is high. So there's a little bit of reluctance in the market to actually take come out with the longer-term contracts. We do a little bit, but I think there's a little bit of wait and see at the moment also from our customers. It is also for them a very high level, also driven by the high oil price and high bunker price. Some are coming, and we are extending some contracts, but it's not easy to go out and take a lot of long-term contracts at the moment, especially if you want to keep a good level, of course.
Sure, that's very helpful. Thank you so much, Martin, and have a lovely day.
Next question is Carol Lee from JP Morgan.
Hello, Martin. Hey, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Hi. Yeah, I have a few questions. The first is regarding, you mentioned in the presentation that the grains in first quarter, the loading volumes down 3%, that is due to the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Can I understand a little bit better why is that causing the disruption from this crisis? As we know that the grain harvesting season for Russia and Ukraine should be in third quarter. And with regard to Pacific Basin, I think management in another call has mentioned our exposure, to that trade route is probably less than 3%. Do we expect to benefit as I think if this conflict continue into a longer period of time, say like second half or next year, there will be, of course, the rerouting or trade route. Do we see that as, I think, beneficial for us or net or negative? That is the first question.
Yeah, the first question about the there's, of course, grain and corn being exported out of Russia and Ukraine all year, from storage. But of course, you're right that the main season starts the second half of the year or into third quarter. But that's one of the issues as well in Ukraine, and is that it's impossible for them to get it to the port, and of course the port is closed at the moment. So, but you're right that the real volumes, of course, is after the harvest later in the year, and that's of course also what we look at. But it already has an impact on the export volumes. And you're correct that for Pacific Basin, the trade into Ukraine and Russia has been quite limited. And today we are not doing any business in and out of Russia, and of course not in and out of Ukraine. But indirectly, of course, it's fairly big volumes of especially grain of Russia and Ukraine. And the question is, of course, is the world, if the conflict and the war continues, will the world be able to replace these volumes from other places? And the thing we hear at the moment is that everybody else is, of course, planting more wheat and corn to sort of in the expectation that they have to replenish or they have to have a higher harvest other places in order to supply the world with these commodities. I also hear one of the issues with that is that the cost of fertilizer has also come up because fertilizer is also exported out of Russia and Ukraine, and that's, of course, also missing at the moment. So it is hard to predict exactly what's going to happen, but I think it's fair to say that the world will need this corn and wheat, and they will have to try and find it from other places, and these other places will be further away than from Ukraine and Russia. So there will be a more ton mile for shipping, and unfortunately in these circumstances it's actually good for shipping, even though it's a terrible situation in Ukraine.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so the second question is kind of related to Russia-Ukraine crisis as well. We understand the worker, sorry, the seafarers coming from Russia and Ukraine actually form a pretty large proportion of the seafarer globally. Can you actually share some update with regard to impact on Pacific Basin on that front? coming either due to, I think, this perspective or the China situation, as we understand the mobility curve, quarantine requirements, and so on, making the ship changes nearly impossible?
Yeah. First of all, I'd say the real impact is actually on the well-being of our crew. This is, being Chinese and having to change to and from the ships is a terrible situation at the moment with the quarantine rules around the world. And similar, of course, with our crew, we do also have Russians and Ukrainians on board our ships, and that's really tough on them as well. So I actually feel a bit sorry for these guys. So I would say actually that is actually where I think the well-being and the mindset of these guys who are actually sort of so important for us for the safety of the service we provide, that's probably my biggest concern at the moment. There is of course a cost and there is a sort of a practical arrangement thing in these things, which of course is a little bit of a pain. I would say cost-wise, we also mentioned that for last year, the full year result, we did mention that cost had come up a little bit, but in the bigger picture, it's not much. But I must say, changing, we have Chinese, we have Philippines, and we have Indian crew and officers. And I must say, especially for our Chinese colleagues on ships, it's really, really tough with the crew changes. It's nearly impossible sometimes to send people home and get them to the ships. But we are managing, and I think our cost is under control. But of course, the airfares and the hotel quarantine rules and time, of course, have increased our costs somewhat. So we hope this will disappear soon.
Got it. Okay, last question is regarding our fleet strategy. I think you mentioned that we will be upscaling, increasing the share of Ultramax. Can you share a bit more detail on that front? Do we see Ultramax as a percentage to be a more meaningful proportion of our fleet, in coming years?
Yeah, I think we would like to have a little bit more balance in our fleet, so we have probably as many, at least as many Ultramaxes as we have heavy sizes. And I think we also have to admit that when we look over time, we can see that that the larger ships, they have actually outperformed the smaller ships on the earnings. So of course, that's also quite attractive to us. We still have to remember that the Handysizes is a very sort of important part of Pacific Basin's service to our customers. And I think for us, it's not a question maybe of growing that, but we would like to maintain the size, but also renew the fleet somewhat. And that's also why we're selling some of the older ones, and we'll see how to replace them over time. But our strategy is actually to grow our Ultramax fleet, maintain our handy sizes, but renew the fleet as we go along. And that strategy has not changed. The only thing that has changed now is, of course, that the asset prices have gone up, and we're probably a bit more reluctant to commit to the second-hand prices or buying at the current second-hand prices. So, and there's not many opportunities of good ships actually out there. So we're sitting looking a little bit at the market and see how that develops.
When we look at the fleet mix, Supermax, which includes Ultramax, roughly accounts for half of our fleet capacity in terms of number of vessels. For Supermax, that category, how much of the Ultramax ultimately would be accounting for, percentage-wise?
What we said is that we'd like to grow that part of it, and I think our short-term ambitions would to have balance in it. And we have about a little less than 100 handy sizes, and I think over time we will hope to be the owner of a similar size of the Ultramaxes as we go along. But that will take some time.
Got it. Can I just quickly check how many Ultramax we have? So if you have mentioned about that.
I probably need you, Peter, to find the slide.
In terms of Supermax.
Sorry, Peter, I think at the moment, in terms of Ultramaxes, I think we have about 13 Ultramaxes.
Okay, 13. out of 126 in total?
Out of 121 ships owned in total.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at slide 25. Not sure whether I'm looking at correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's because that creeps back as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay, 13 out of 126.
No, 13 out of 122.
Oh, 122. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. Oh, the own vessel. I got it. I was referring to the total vessel for Supramax category, but I understand what you mean now.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I see what you mean. Yeah. Got it. So, sorry. We think of the owned vessels.
That's okay. Sorry. We're looking at different lines.
You look at horizontally.
And Carrie, we as you see on page 25, we have balance in the total. But when you look at the owning side, that's what I'm looking at as well. And when we talk about our asset strategy, we talk a lot about our owning side of it. And there we want to own more Supers, Ultramaxes. And we want to maintain our Handysize fleet, but renew it. And that's the 132 ships it says here, where 79 are Handysizes and 42 are Supermaxes.
Got it. Okay, super helpful.
Thank you so much.
Ah, sorry.
just one last thing, Carol, on that Supermax. Remember, your 126 number includes the short-term ships, and that goes up and down every day as we take in ships and redeliver. So that number moves all the time. Yeah, sorry.
Got it. Okay, got it.
Our website has the latest fleet list for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Next question is Alan Choi, individual.
Oh, hi, everyone. Can I start now?
Go ahead, Alan.
Okay. Hi, Martin. Hi, Peter. Congratulations on a very strong quarter again. I have two questions. My first question maybe is for Peter. With the expectation of rising interest rates, is there some work being done on the debt carried on the company's book to move towards more of a fixed rate category? If you don't mind sharing any kind of percentages from floating to fixed, that would be helpful. And then my second question is, do you have a view on kind of any future industry consolidation for dry bulk as a whole? That's it. Two questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. We actually have very, very limited interest rate exposure. The majority of our facilities are either already on a fixed rate or they're hedged with interest rate hedges. So there's a fairly small proportion that is open. There's a little bit more information about the exact percentages in the annual results announcement. So I'll urge you to have a look at that. But if you also add the amount of cash we have on the balance sheet, which acts sort of as a natural hedge because as interest rates go up, we can make a little bit more return on that cash. We're actually making more money when interest rates go up. So we actually have a positive correlation with interest rates, which is a little bit unusual for a shipping company. But that's a reflection of the hedges that we have and our strong balance sheet. I'll hand you over to Martin on the question of consolidation.
Yeah, and Alan, we of course always look at the opportunities we see in the market. I think it's hopefully fair to say, and hopefully it doesn't sound too arrogant, but Pacific Basin is actually sort of, we've done quite well sort of on the top line, outperforming the market, both on our supers and the handysizes. So I think we are market leader on that part. I actually think on the cost base, we're also doing quite well, probably also market leader on that side. So should we merge or consolidate with somebody? Should be somebody who brings us some value. We do have 260 ships that we control today. Do we believe that being a lot bigger will give us a lot? It might give us some, but I'm not so sure. We're quite sort of lean in the way we have everything in-house. We're quite lean in our focus on minor bulk, heavy sizes, supers, and ultras. So should we consolidate with somebody? It should be somebody who can bring us some value to what we do today. And I'm sure there's somebody out there who, of course, you know, do quite well and that could help us and give us something. But it's not that clear that any consolidation actually makes sense. So I think for us, it's also very much focusing on what we do. We have a good market at the moment. Let's harvest. Let's make sure we do what is right. Let's not complicate our business by taking in consolidation or mergers and so on, because it will complicate things and it will take focus away from what is the core of what we do, and that is actually delivering good service to our customers, making sure we do it safely and making sure that we keep our costs down and maximize our top line. And I think we do quite well on that at the moment, and I think that is where focus should be at the moment. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we do follow the opportunities in the market. We're always open for discussions, but we will be very careful before we do anything. We want to make sure that we maintain the good things that Pacific Basin has developed over many years. I hope that is a fair reply and not too arrogant.
No, that's good. Thank you.
The next question is Adrian Lee from Jefferies.
Yeah, hi. Thanks very much for your time. I have a few questions. The first is related to the fleet size, right? You mentioned that you sold four of the vessels year to date of the older vessels. Two parts of this. The first is, how many more of these do you plan to sell? Second part, does that mean that your capacity for the Handysize for this year would then be lower on a year-on-year basis? Because if I look at your long-term charter, right, it's roughly flat on a year-on-year basis. So if you sold four of these vessels, does that mean that your capacity will fall into this year, and then into next year, your chartered, long-term chartered falls again, right? So does that mean that you'll have 2 years where what you'll get is that your revenue days or capacity will be shrinking? Okay, that's the first question. Second question is, if I look at your first quarter update compared to last year, it seems if you have a higher covered percentage, right, for the Supramax. Is there a reason why it's a higher percentage? Third question, I would say, is could you give us what the scrubber premium was for the Supramax? I think that's all I have for now.
Let's see if I can remember those. So if we first take the tonnage part, yeah, it is correct that if we, you know, last year we bought 12 ships, and I think we sold four. And this year so far we have received delivery of one Ultramax, and we have sold four ships. Those four ships has not been delivered to the new owners yet, but it will be done here within April, May, and June. But you are absolutely correct that when they leave the fleet, of course, we'll have less ships in the fleet, unless, of course, we take in short-term chartered ships in or longer-term chartered ships in. But, of course, if we do that, that will, of course, be at rates that are somewhat higher than on the cost of our own core fleet. So you're correct. If we keep selling, we'll have less ships in the market unless we do something else. Our ambition is still to buy if the right opportunities come up. But at the moment, we at least on our older ships, we have seen that the asset prices have gone up 200% since early last year. So that is actually, you know, three times up on the asset prices. And of course, we do the calculations, you know, looking at, you know, what is the future expected market, and we compare it to the market price we can get on the ship now. And we have decided that some of these ships, especially those who are due for dry dock, and also those that we know might have a little bit of issue with the upcoming IMO regulation next year, then maybe it's time to sell those ships to other owners who are probably better at handling those ships in the changing market. So that's the driver of it. But of course, we will still be there to grow our fleet when we find the right opportunities. But we also feel that part of our business is selling at the right time. And we feel it's the time to sell some of the ships. And I'm fairly sure we'll sell a little bit more. We have a few others of ships that is close to the 20-year age, and we will sort of look at those as we go along the market. And the second question was, just remind me again. I can take the scrubber. I can take the scrubber part. Yes, the scrubber, we usually say $1,200 a day. We have 32 vessels, Supermaxes, who has scrubbers on board. And normally it's $1,200. It is actually at the moment somewhat more than $1,200 due to the high oil price. It has driven up and the spread has also increased. So at the moment, it's actually a better deal than $1,200 per day.
My question was about
the supers versus the handies.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of difference in the market. There is a difference in how the market works for the handy sizes versus the supers and the ultras, where the handy sizes are a little bit more industrial to a certain extent, and the other ones is a little bit more trading part of it. I think it's just possible, has just been possible on the larger ones to take more cover at better rates, and we thought that was a good thing to do. Remember that actually today the spot market is pretty much the same for handy and for Ultramax, and maybe we have felt a little bit on the handies that let's enjoy the spot market and not take too much cover. But there's no sort of huge strategy in it at the moment.
And then maybe a follow-up question. The China lockdown, COVID lockdown in Shanghai, et cetera, right? Are you seeing an impact on volumes in April? Because I see that your first quarter, right, was up 12% in terms of minor bulk. Have you seen any, is there a big fall off so far in, for the first 2 weeks of April?
I have not seen that, and I've not heard that has had a major impact on our business so far. I think it has a big impact on the container business at the moment, and I'm sure it has an impact on the minor bulk as well. But I have not, for Pacific Basin, heard that this has a huge impact on us at the moment. I don't know, Peter, if you have heard anything different.
No, I think it has maybe impacted the Pacific market maybe a little bit negative when it comes to sentiment. We had a very strong Pacific market for a while and a relatively weak Atlantic market that has rebalanced in recent week. And I think the sort of lockdown concerns is partly responsible for that. But we also think that, at some point when they get out of these lockdowns, there will be a great need, and we're already hearing it from, the Prime Minister of China, to stimulate the economy to reach the growth targets, which I think this year particularly are very important, right? So, there's a lot of talk about further infrastructure investment. There's a lot of push to keep the logistics chains open. There is talk of reducing property curbs, local governments, taking its own initiative on these things. So, whenever you close something down, you tend to have the pendulum effect, just like we had after the lockdowns in the West. And if you couple that with a bit of stimulus to get back on track, this could provide some support for the latter half of the year. But it all depends on how this COVID fight evolves, right? It's still early days, I think, for China to kind of grapple with this. But we haven't seen any sort of fall off in loadings in the last couple of weeks. That hasn't been the case.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much for spending time to answer the question answering my questions. And great start of the year. Let it continue.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you.
The next question is, if you have any questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. Next question is Panson Mel from Captain for Business Limited.
Martin, I understand there's about 500 bulk carriers waiting off PRC ports at the moment. Clearly that's been good for demand at the moment. Will there be a significant reduction in demand when China gets back to normal?
I'm not sure that these 500 ships are, I think when they say dry cargo, I also think they're also talking about container ships. That's at least the opinion or the feeling that I have. I think we have had, you know, COVID is nothing new in China, and the lockdowns in China has actually been ongoing for a period of time. So I don't sit with the feeling to say that this will disrupt the market in any way when things is gearing up for the dry cargo. Remember that for Pacific Basin, loading and discharge in China is about 10% of our loading and discharge operations around the world. So for minor bulk, of course, China is directly and indirectly important, but maybe less so than it is for Capesizes and other ships. So we don't sit and feel it's a big threat. We actually do feel that when China opens up again, it actually will mean increased steel production, and that actually might be better for our market than it is today. But I don't think the 500 ships are pure dry cargo ships in the sense of the bulk carriers as us. I think it's also container ships we're talking about.
Thank you. Also, with your sort of selling of the ships, obviously those haven't been received yet. I think you said they were being delivered from April through June, and your strong cash flow at the moment, when do you think Pacific Basin will be debt-free on a net basis? I'm not suggesting you'll pay off all your debts, but when would you be net cash?
We're already net cash.
Already net cash, okay. And
yes.
Just a final concept on the dividend. I remember asking you, Peter, last time about quarterly dividends. One sort of halfway house to that, I just feel it's a little bit unwieldy having such a large percentage as a final dividend. And I just wanted to sow the thought for you that when you announce your final results, you could pay half of whatever you announce as a second interim dividend at the time of your final results in February, and then perhaps the balance as a final dividend in May, which would perhaps just make trading a little bit more even in the shares of the company.
It's something to think about. We haven't changed our methodology of paying dividends or how we report as well. I mean, we don't do a full P&L for the first and the third quarter as well, right? So we haven't changed that for some time. But no, we do take on board any suggestions, and we do know many shareholders would like a more distributed dividend stream, and we take that on board. We always have discussions on how we can improve these kind of things.
Yeah, I remember you last time you said because you're only doing a trading update, you didn't want the quarterly dividend, and I think I agree with that. But this one, as there's obviously quite a long time between getting accounts out, getting AGMs to approve things, that might just give between February and May, you've still got a few months, and that might just spread it out a bit. So that's that for you to consider. Thank you, and congratulations.
No.
Good results.
Thank you.
As a reminder, please press 01 for questions. As a reminder, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now for questions. There are currently no more questions. I'll pass back the time to Mr. Fulbert. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to thank you again for joining us today and for your continued support to Pacific Basin. If you have any further questions, please contact Peter Bott from our Investor Relations Department. Thank you again and goodbye.
This concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may disconnect.